Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you guys for joining us here at Harvest and Light Church and Harvest and Light Studios here in the city of Dallas. That's a little kind of really reminder about just how you got to let the Lord really reign in your life. But it's always an opportunity for you guys to be with us on this afternoon. As we're going to start our Tuesday night testimony, I always want to welcome the man of God who's coming for our international team, as well as the man of God who's actually with us each and every night. A few of the people from out of the city and the Metroplex, but I got a few announcements I want to make to you guys as we get ready to go forth. It's just truly an honor and opportunity to just be in the land of the living on today. We're going to be talking about a few things, considering just dealing with the area of that, you know, how the Word really speaks about we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're going to be dealing with some of the areas of certain commentaries as we move forward. We know God has got a plan to believe and to move and do what He designed us to do. in the season which we're in, but there's a few announcements I'd like to make concerning some very powerful men that's in the Metroplex. There's actually been mentorships to me. Also, I want to thank you guys for those who are participating on this service tonight. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We continue to ask you guys to continue to keep us lifted up in prayer as we keep you all lifted up as well as we move forward doing the work of the kingdom of God. I want to let you guys know about Mighty Woman of God who actually stopped into the studio on this morning on the way out to Oklahoma. And she's got a powerful service out there in the city of Oklahoma. Well, this is going to be in McAllister, Oklahoma, but she's spreading throughout the regions of Oklahoma. Have such a deliverance and a power and a presence of the work she's doing in the ministry. And I want to make people know that there was hadn't seen her in a while. And that was actually Apostle Diva Curry. And most of you probably heard and know about her in ministry here in the city of Dallas. Such a great woman of God and is always progressing and trying to do the things she knows she needs to do as far as moving the ministry forward for those who want to get in contact with her. And it's really called God's Restoration Ministry. And that's a telephone number. You can contact the ministry itself. And that's Apostle Diva Curry. And that's going to be area code 214-579-9002. And she has a cell phone number as well. And that's going to be area code 469-909-9122. I also want to tell you guys about a powerful man in the city of Houston, Texas, by the name of Apostle Oscar Walker, who's always doing the work in the ministry. Such a powerful presence of the Spirit is always upon him. He's been a mentor in my life for probably over 9 years now. He's been doing a great work and teaching me to move forward in the work he's calling me to do. But his ministry in the city of Houston, Texas is called Disciples Tabernacle Church. And that man of God is also called Apostle Oscar Walker there in the city of Houston, Texas. And he's out there in the vicinity of 70, I think it's actually 190 in FM. I think it's the area of Kirkendall. But I want to make sure I get the proper information. You know, in the course of the end of this service, I want to reiterate that back to you. But he's doing a mighty work. Most of you all can reach him on his actually Face channel. You know, Facebook goes to a lot of various ways at times. Sometimes you don't know the address to certain places. Most people who deal in the ministry or deal in the media have a social network address, and you can go to it. You can just go in and type in Apostle Oscar Walker or Oscar Walker, and you'll see DTC, Disciples Tabernacle, and that way you can find, or you can Google Disciples Tabernacle, and you'll see the work, the great work this man of God is doing also in administering the work he's called in the season with Jesus. And I believe that, as we all been discussing, most of you already know, who also been the listeners that's been a part of this station, also know about Reigning International Church. That's Dr. J.C. Matthews had a services on yesterday, on Monday. His actually Bible place, studies take place on actually Monday. Wanted to get out there, but tied up with the wife and doing some things and taking care of some of the things with the family. I'm quite sure he understands how that is, but I'm always a supporter of the work he's doing out there at Reigning International Ministry. I'm telling you, you can't get enough of the power that flows through this man of God. I'm telling you, he's really one of the new remnants that's in the earth that God has said, how he talks about the Battle of Mount Carmel. When Elijah went up there and he began to defeat Jezebel prophets, and he said he was all alone. God said, no, that 7,000 had bowed to the feet of Balaam. Well, he's one of the guys I feel that in the season which he's in, that's coming on doing a great work in the ministry. Also, you can catch him out at the, for those of you who know what a TBN Center is, actually in Irving Boulevard. He's at 3001 Irving Boulevard. That's actually in Irving, Texas. And as a number, you can contact his ministry with, and that's area code 877-377-3446. Great man of God. Also, I want to give a shout to my good friend, leader, and mentor as well, Bishop Raymond Johnson. Those of you can catch him on our Wednesday night services. Go to my social network, get me Ping, Boxster, Lipston, all these different social networks you see us on, Guy Clouds. You pretty much when you hit the social network, you see us Tumblr, you see us all out there on probably 20 different stations on the social network. I believe this is what God has called us to be in the last days in which we're in, as we look at what we call the end times. I think we're living in that time and the season which we're in. I want to say congratulations and hello to my good friend, Elder Kerry Williams, out of Kerry Williams Ministry, out of Saginaw, Michigan. Son does a fantastic job. On last week when we got into the study dealing with the area of the naysayers, and we're going to kind of look at that a little bit today, but we're going to discover who we are in Christ. And then we know that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes babes in Christ, but also we walk with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, knowing that we constantly been influenced by the Word of God to move forward. God begins to make us that living sacrifice as we continue to move forward in the work He's called us to do in the season which He is. So I want to say hello to Pastor Patty Ellis. My beautiful wife in the ministry, always doing a great work, keeping me encouraged, keeping me moving in the right direction as always. Everybody needs somebody to keep them inspired. And sometimes we run into those what we call dark corners sometimes. You know, it's not that you give up or anything, but you need that little boost. This is why it's good to have good men of God around you, people that really just, they really trust, you know, they really want to do the work that God's called you to do in the season of what you're in. It's a great work that we're doing here at Harvest and Light Church. It's been a lot of battles, but I tell you, every battle that we have battled in has been well worth the wait and the time and the season which we've been going through. So we thank God for those battles that we've been dealing with. Want to get ourselves open up here in prayer and get ourselves into the study of this afternoon. We're going to be dealing with in the area of the book of Corinthians, and that area we're looking over in the first chapter of Corinthians, or we're actually the first Corinthians in the third chapter, and we're going to talk about some things about how the Word declares and creeds, and know that, hey, look, man, don't you know? And if you don't know, you're going to find out tonight that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God's designed, created, and engineered you to flourish in every category, every problem in your life. I believe there's nothing too hard for God to do, according to Jeremiah 32:17, also in a particular area of dealing with what we call the fleshly deeds. You know, God says that, you know, is there anything too hard for Him to do in Jeremiah 32:17? But He comes back also and makes a reproach that He's really able to cover all areas. He said that He's the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for Him to do? Whatever circumstance or situation may be in your life, whatever proclivity, whatever orange cone or ditch you're running into, God has commanded the grand decree in the season which you're in that He can deliver you from whatever may be that's alienating you to call you feel opposite of what God declared in your life. Well, we look at the book of 1 Corinthians. Let's open up with prayer. Father God, we thank You. We bless You. We honor You on this particular afternoon. It's our Tuesday testimony, as we've always been having. We thank You for the administration of the power, the presence of the Holy Spirit right now, Father God, even those who are anointed their head with oil. As we begin to move forward, Father God, in this powerful study on this particular afternoon, there's just a declare and decree that through the power of God that everything and all things are possible. I don't believe there's nothing that You can't do. But it's to You, Father God, that You have made us and designed us and engineered us to trust and believe and declare and decree that through You, Father God, as all things are possible. That's according to Mark 9:23, to him that believeth, Father God. And we thank You for this opportunity, Father God, as we be in the land of the living. I want to say happy birthday to my lovely sister, Edna Davis, out of Saginaw, Michigan, who's now visiting here in the city of Texas with one of my nephews, Reginald Davis, who's a powerful young man in the ministry, expecting a new attitude towards family. So we thank God for that and the work they're doing with him. But we want to get on with the studies on this afternoon. We want to move forward because of the time, and we want to get ourselves into the scriptures here as we take our Bibles and we move over to the book of Corinthians. And we're going to go through some variations of scriptures, and we say it always does, as we always do. I'm going to look at some of the Amplified, some of the New International. I'm going to add one more in here. I want to kind of look at the Common English Bible, or you want to kind of get myself over here, get ourselves moving here. It's called the CBN Bible, or the CBE Bible, and it's a very good scripture. It's a very good breakdown. It has very good scriptures and very good breakdown about some of the common things we deal with in the Word of God. And me, you know me, I'm not one of those persons who try to get into the magical performance or talk, or, you know, performance of saying words and skills and that thing. I deliver it raw. And I bring it just the way God has given it to me. But I know that through the Holy Spirit, God has designed and engineered us to speak things or call things in the midst of the events to be not to what they were. I believe that's a true word, according to Romans 4:17. I believe He said, God, He gave us the ability to do that, to be able to speak and to call things. That means the manifestation of the power has been given to us. But we got to recognize who we are in Christ. As the Word of God declares, according to 1 Corinthians, if we get started in this particular teaching on tonight, dealing with who you are in Christ, and don't you know you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God decrees according to 1 Corinthians in that third chapter, in that first verse, he says, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Now notice what he's saying here. There's a wedge right there. Yeah, we still got stuff that's blocking us that we're going to receive the full engraftation of the power of the Spirit that God may do with us as He see fit to do with us and designed to do with us as He called us to be. The Bible declares, and I, brethren, cannot speak unto you unto you as spiritual. Now, he's talking to the people of Corinth, the Corinthians. But if you look at the revelation of this word, God is not just speaking to those in Corinth. He's talking about the very devastation that goes in the house of God each and everywhere in the city of where you stay or in your household. And you can't get along with one another, that you got to realize that you are one who have to step up and learn how to put out the fire. The word of God talks about in the book of James in chapter 3, how your tongue can be a deadly fire, how you can just pitchfork that thing. And that thing begins to speak out, and they begin to last. It's like a big lighter. You flick it, that thing begins to light. And God said that thing can set the world on fire. But in the midst of who you are, you walk with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. The word of God say, in the area, I got to clean you up. Now I want to stay here for a while, and I want to stay with you here. I want to move through this thing like it's some kind of a fairy tale story. Because the word of God, if you clearly understand what he's saying, we look at it in the Amplified version, just in the first verse of 3 and 1. However, brother, I could not talk to you as spiritual men. Now, that's telling me something right there. When God can't talk to you spiritually, he goes me back to the book of Galatians. He said, first, you got to understand that you have to know and realize that if you walk in the spirit, you know, you not fulfill the lust and the desires of the flesh. What he's saying, you won't walk into the law of the land, and you won't come to be rebellious and hard-headedness in the things I'm called you to do. God is telling you, if you open your mind and lean to me and lean not to your own and acknowledge me all your ways, his ways, and then he begins to direct your path. It's kind of like the word God says in the book of Psalms. As I walk through what seems to be shadows or valleys of circumstances and situations in my life, God has gotten me protected. I heard my good friend Edward Pearson out there at Terrell, Texas, over at My Olive Church. He's another great man of God who speaks a lot of great things in terms of the ministry. He's a great man of God in my life, and I thank God for him. Also a high school mate down in the city of Saginaw. But let's get with this word. Let's hear what it said. Let's get revelation of what the word of God is saying here. I want to stay on this particular first verse, because you're not going to get anything else from this if you don't understand who you are in Christ. Paul is speaking a word to the people of Corinth, but because of some of the division that's going on, one says I'm Paul, one says I'm Apollo, another one says I'm Jesus Christ. It's kind of like what we did one day. Well, I'm an apostle, I'm a pastor, I'm a teacher, I'm an evangelist, and all these other things. But God declared, he called you to do the work that he called you to do in the season that you're in. Whatever your gift is, whatever your anointing is, whatever it is that God called you to do, you're not in competition with anybody. You're number one on the list of Christ. You don't have to appease and to please and get to the point to try to please anybody. God has already designed you and engineered you to do the work he called you to do. The book says that in the book of Jeremiah, before I created, before I designed, before I engineered, I called you to be that prophet of the nation. Now, he tells us to give us a marching order. He said, now, the harvest is truly great, but the labors are few. Don't get entangled in this law thing, this bondage thing, to the point that making you feel that you're a little bit more superior to others. God says you're just a man just like everybody else. We talk about the book of Amos, 3 and 7, where God says, I don't bring a word into the land unless it's revealed to the prophet. Well, guess what, men and women of God? You got to understand that as a spiritual walk, that any gift that God has you has got to come under the unction of the power of the Holy Spirit. I heard the man of God, Elder Kerry Williams, say on the show, he said, if you got a new car, no matter how good it looks and how shiny it is and how good the wheels look on it, but if you ain't got the fuel to power it, it can't go nowhere. That goes the same way with you. You may have a gift. You may have all those things in you that seems like you got what God wants you to have, but you can't move anything. Matter of fact, let's look at something here. As we're going to stay on here, 1 Corinthians 3, but we're going to move in another area of the book of Corinthians. And it really brings a lot of solidification to this particular text and to this particular teaching that we're teaching this afternoon. We take our Bibles, we go to the book of, let's look at here, we're going to look at over in the King James Version, and let's take our Bible and let's kind of tatty over, just kind of page over here, and let's look at some stuff here, get myself set aside, in the position here. And I want to look at the book of Corinthians. Once you want to stay in the book of Corinthians, but we want to look at something here in the area of chapter 13. We're going to stay in 1 Corinthians, but this makes a whole lot of sense. You know, back in the day, and I ain't going to say back in the day, even now, you got a people to do a whole lot of talking. You know, I'm one of the people who, you know, you're going to put up and you're going to shut up. You know, God's going to tell you that. You know, I don't mean to be ignorant in such a way to make you feel unorthodox about what I'm saying, but I'm trying to get you to understand and see something that God said, you got to quit all that lip chattering. You got to stop all that mouth jumping. And you got to be able to understand that God is not just listening to what you're saying. He want to know what you're going to do. If you're going to talk the talk, then you need to walk the walk. The Bible says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and then you do not the things I say? It's amazing how we want to call on the Lord. But when it comes down to perform the works of the Lord, we begin to shy up. We begin to call back into our cocoon. And we don't want to suffer the things we got to go to for the revelation of what God designed and engineered us to be in the season which you're in. The word of God says, according to the book of 1 Corinthians 13, I speak with you with tongues of men. Now notice what he's saying. And of angels, I have not charity. I become a sounding brass, a tingling cymbal. Now, that's what he said. He's talking about you because you're talking all that stuff. You shoot your mouth off. You talk about what you say you are in the body of Christ. But, baby, let me tell you something. But behind closed doors, there's something wrong with you. In the name of Jesus, can I talk to y'all this afternoon about what the word of God is speaking in my spirit? I'm trying to get you to see. You keep talking all this noise about who you are in Christ Jesus. You keep talking all this stuff about who God said you are and what kind of gift he had in you. But the Bible says the harvest is really suffering. There's men and women of God that's outside the temples or the walls of the church that's going through all kinds of dilemmas in their mouth. If you keep on running up on this chapter 13, this first 13 of Corinthians, the Bible says you speak with the tongue of a man and an angel, but you have not charity. I can't do nothing. I'm just talking loud and ain't saying nothing. I have become a sounding brass and a tingling cymbal. Listen to what he's telling you. He's talking about you. He said, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have the all faith so I could remove mountains, but I have not charity. Look, I'm nothing. Am I in there? Let me read that second verse again because it's really kind of touching you. The Bible says, and though I have gifts of prophecy and understand all mysteries, I'm telling you got everything. You got the education, you got the words, you got the Bible text down, the words are flowing off your mouth like butter. You can make a sound good, but baby, you can look here. Let me tell you, can I talk to you? You got a crack in your foundation. The Bible said all of us has fallen short, according to the book of Romans. Everybody has something. We all have come unprofitable. The Bible said there's not one right. The Bible said we all have fallen short. Well, Corinthians makes it very true right here. For I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries. In all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and I have not charity, I am nothing. God told him, you just talking. You just running and you ain't saying nothing. While the body of Christ and the real body of Christ, which is actually out there in the world and not in the building, and you've been the temple of the Holy Spirit, you've been designed with a gift according to what? Jeremiah 1 and 5, before you was created, designed and engineered to do the work of the kingdom of God, God had already gifted you just as he did with Jeremiah. Jeremiah had a stipulation about what he was and what he was called to be. But the word of God declared the word over in Jeremiah 18, look, you need to go down to the potter's house. And when you get down to the potter's house, you need to look at the clay that's in the potter's hand and see how it is mauled in the name of Jesus. And before I formed you and created you, I designed you to do a work that I call you to. I don't want to preach to you. I want to talk to you this afternoon. Sometimes we keep on walking and talking about what we are and what we designed to be. We want names. I heard a man of God said his anointing is too powerful for him. Well, baby, look here. When you become the person you think you ought to be and you think you should still be living, you might be, but if you is, you ain't. But if you ain't, you is. Let me tell you something. If you are to reach your partitionary of your anointing and you got too much in you, then you ain't supposed to be here no more. That's why if you are, then you ain't. If you is, you is. Then you in the word of God. Y'all, you don't want to hear what I'm talking about. God tell you like this. If you have reached the full potential of what I call you to be, and you done all the work that I call you to do on earth, why are you still down here on earth? You need to come on home and let me continue to work on the ones who need to help in their life. The word of God declares once again over there in the book of 1 Corinthians in the 13th chapter, I speak all these things. I got gift, I got prophecy, I got mystery, I got all the faith that I can have, that I can remove mountains. I can talk a real good talk, but baby, I can't move a mountain. I can't do nothing. I'm just talking loud and I ain't saying nothing. Most of the back in the days when we was out there in the midst of playing sports on the basketball, you talked a whole lot of stuff. But when you get out and you shot that thing up and we blew it over in the third bench, that thing got knocked out of place. And then when you got out there, even on the field or what it was playing football and whatever it may be doing that, you got out there and you caught it, catch them, and then you got your helmet spit. Am I there? And but then you come back again, you begin to talk all that stuff that's like in the body of Christ. If God called you to do a work in the season with you in, if you're going to live up to the expectation what God designed and engineered you to be, maybe you ought to set back and get yourself off the sideline and then sit there for a while before you bring your sideline stuff to the front line. Because God is tired of you talking all that talk and you ain't moving and ain't doing nothing. You don't want to hear this kind of preaching. You want me to talk good to you. You want me to give you some inspirational things. But I'm telling you, man and woman, God, the time is winding up. That God is looking for the spirit, the power of those who will worship him and worship him in spirit and truth. God is looking for those men of God. We were talking about the other day, and I ain't leaving alone in 1 Corinthians 3. I'm still going to be there. But I'm trying to get you to see and understand that even we talk about in the book of Romans, when you take your Bible, you look over the book of Romans, the Word of God begin to talk about a powerful area about spiritual growth in the midst of where you are. And God has really designed you in a season which you're in to move more powerful than you never moved before. We keep on fighting the same demons and the same things every day, but we hadn't moved forward to what God really designed us to be. The Word of God declares and decrees. When you look over the book of Romans, you go down to the 16th verse of that Romans, that Romans 8, I believe that man of God, Elder Cary Williams, was the one we were talking about this. You go down there to the area of the book of Romans, you look around the 10th verse, and he said, in, now this is Romans 8 and 10. He said, if Christ be in you, the body is dead. Now listen to what he said. Look how he's saying this. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, the flesh. Take it back to Galatians and understand what he's saying. If you read the book of Galatians 5 and 16, you begin to go down to the 21st verse. By the Word of God begin to take all the attributes in you that cause you to be able to sin. He talk about all those things that dealing with envy, strife, murder, all those different hubbuckery, all those things are still in you because you're a fleshly being. But the Bible says the flesh is fighting every day against the spirit. I heard a man of God speak to me the other day when I was in one of the meat line counters. I had to give me some what you call some shaved cheese and some shaved turkey. Am I there? I'm just trying to be real with you. And then I was at the meat counter and I had a shirt on that said that all whites ain't racist and all police ain't bad. Am I there? And all Hispanics ain't illegal. But it began to speak about some powerful things. He looked up at the very shirt that I was wearing from the man of God, Pastor Sam Fitzroy, out of Mount Olive Church of Plano. And he began to look at the thing. He said, man, I like the shirt that you have on because I thank God each and every day that I get up. Now, when I think about the time that I wake up every morning, it wasn't when I was, each time I get up, it's like I'm firstborn. I said, man, that is so powerful. He said, each every morning I get up, I'm like a newborn child every day when I get up that I receive life. That God tapped my crazy self in the midst of the midnight hour, woke me up and gave me the opportunity to see another day. The Bible talks about the mercy and grace that God has given you in the season that you're in. Am I there? God is trying to get you to move in ways that you never thought you'd ever move before. See, God is trying to produce something in you that's more than what you can imagine or think of. In that area, the book of Romans, if you look over there in that particular 8th verse, he says, that they are in the flesh, cannot please God. Now, I'm going to take you back down to the 10th verse, but I'm going to look at the 8th verse. He says, they that are in the flesh, he said, they cannot please God. The 9th verse said, but if you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwells in you, excuse me for that, ladies and gentlemen, dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Maybe you rejected. You see, the Word of God said you can't serve two masters. The Bible says you're going to even love one and you're going to hate the other. He makes it very plain here that you can't say. He talks about you can't serve that money and you can't serve God. He talks about the Aramaic term of mammon. You know, he talks about money. That some people's God is their money, how much they make, how much the promotions they have on their job, how big is my, see, it's a lot. They got a lot of gods in their life. I got the house, I got the home, I got the cars, I got the shoes, I got the clothes, I got the money in the bank. That the God, but when you take all that stuff from around them and learn them how to suffer and know how they gotta suffer through that, maybe through Christ, it may bring them back, that they're gonna lose their mind. You go to the doctor taking all kind of pills and all kind of different stress problems that's going on in your life because you have not depended on God. And the Word of God tells you in the book of, what is the Proverbs? Lean not to your own, but not as God in all his ways. I mean, everything in your life that you got to lay it down because each and every morning you wake up, you just like a newborn baby being born again because God just gave you a new life. Oh, you want to catch this. But he goes over in this 9th verse. He says, if you are in the flesh, But if you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, and so be that the spirit of God dwells in you. And now, if any man have not the spirit of God, have the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. God, he rejected you. You rejected. See, you can't do that. It's like oil and water. He tell you, look, man, if you don't understand that I'm calling you earnestly by the mercies of God, as he said in Romans 12, that you present your body as a living sacrificial offering. Now, he didn't say you can't come anyway, holy and acceptable, that of a reasonable voice. Source. But he said, but be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, we can take over to Romans with a 10, 8, 9. The Bible said, where is the word? Now he talking, he said, you saying it. Where is the word? It's in your mouth. It's near you. But the Bible said, listen, I ain't pushing you to do nothing. But if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that not only is Lord, but he's Lord over everything, the Bible said, you shall be raised. If God raised his son from the dead, the Bible said, if you believe that, you shall be saved. That means when you understand that you're walking in the flesh, the body has got to die. The word of God declares and decrees over in Romans, it's Romans 12 again. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you not present your body as a living sacrifice. Now, you can't come to me any kind of way, but you got to come to me holy and acceptable, that of a reasonable sort. In other words, I gave you the total package deal. If you just confess the salvation of what I declared, that what I've done on the cross, that when I said it was finished, you ain't got to add nothing to it. I got the total package for you. The word of God declares that any man that Paul speaks about, it serves me that I'm thinking about that scripture that he talked about, that any man that should boast, that man who will brag about how they gave you a gift and they put this in there and they anointed you, they touch you, and they put all kind of rings on your finger, and they commanded things, this and that and all the other. God said, all that was done the day you come out of your mother's womb. Am I in there? The word of God said, according to Jeremiah 1:5, before you was created, before you was designed and engineered, I created you to be a prophet before all the nations. So what you're going to get me to understand, that you're going to let a man come give you a gift before God's gift. You're going to shut down God's gift, but you're going to take a man's gift, that you don't understand, that you want to get in the popularity run so bad that you going to shut down the gift of God that he gave you, and you're going to run to the gift of man. No, the devil is alive. The word of God says, once again, if you're a man that's in the flesh but not in the spirit, God said, you can't dwell with me. But he goes over in the 10th verse. He said, but in Christ, you are in the body is dead. But if you are in Christ, the body is dead. Let me say it again. But if you are in Christ, the body is dead because of sin. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from, look how you talk about this over in this in the book of Romans. See how he rings this thing in Romans back, and he brings it over in that Romans 10, 8, 9. And you can just go back and just really look at it, because he brings something, such a sufficiency here, that he says pretty much the same thing in Romans 10, 8, 9. But he says over in the 10th verse, he says, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Now, don't come looking at it. Don't come talking that crazy stuff to me, because I ain't trying to hear it. If you in the flesh, you sinning. As long as you breathing, you sinning. The Bible declares just like this. You got to still get down on your knees and talk to God about the things that need to get up out your life. Because as long as you breathing, you in the flesh, God declares you got to pray every day, because I'm telling you, that flesh will crawl up off the cross, and you got to nail it back down every time. The Bible says your mind is always thinking about something they're never supposed to think about. If you can think about and trace every thought of your mind every day, then you're a genius. But the Holy Spirit says, I have covered you through the mercy of God, that even when you think something wrong about somebody else, God has already given you mercy and grace with your crazy self, because you mess around and get yourself struck down, putting your mouth on things that you're not supposed to put your mouth on. It made me to the story over in the book of 1st. I'm just all over the place. Y'all got to excuse me on tonight, because I move with the power of God. I move in the Holy Ghost. I talk the talk of the kingdom. The story over in the book of, I think it's 1 Kings. I know it's 1 Kings 13. When the word of God came to Jeroboam about how he was conducting things, how he burnt incense behind the altar, how he mistreated the people of Judah. But God sent Jehoshaphat, the prophet, the baby prophesied to him about how he was misusing God's people, how he was neglecting the very realms of what God designed to be in the earth and what the end. What am I saying? The realm, the future, the nation that God is going to work, that the future's in the nation that God is going to birth the kingdom out of. That man Jeroboam was out there misusing them folk, treating them people all kind of ways, kind of like Pharaoh. Yeah, am I there? Yeah, you hear me? But he sent Josiah. Josiah. And he sent Josiah down there, and he told Josiah about how he need to stop acting. Jeroboam how he need to stop and commend to the ways of God. He prophesied a word against Jeroboam about how he was conducting himself behind the altar as being a man of that particular caliber of leadership. And he prophesied the word on him, Jeroboam, in his position of being so high and mighty, like most people do. They try to use their little authority to push you around. But see, when you look at the word of Josiah was only one man, and Jeroboam was a king over Judah at that time. And when he went and that prophet came and prophesied to him, oh, you got to get a revelation on this. When that prophet prophesied to him about how he was conducting himself as being a man of God, the Bible said that Jeroboam reached out to touch this man of God and began to try to order him to be thrown into the dungeon. And the Bible said his hand began to wither. Am I in there anywhere? If you understand the word of God, when he said, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. It take you back over to the book of Kings as well, when that man prophesied the bread and the water in the gates of Samaria, but them prophets that was outside, I call them prophets. Them four prophets that sat outside the gate began to speak a word of why we're going to stay here until we die. If we go in the city, the phantom is in there. If we stay here, we're going to die. But if we get ourselves up and get ourselves up out of Lodabar and begin to move into the enemy's camp, God will cause you to have a power in your life that when it seems like the enemy is coming against you, they can't touch you because God has given you power to move in ways that you never moved before. But even when you look at the word, when you go back to the book of Kings 13, that man put his hand on that prophet, and that prophet said his hand withered. And I began to read some of the breakdowns about what he spoke about that. And the man of God said he gave Jeroboam a stroke. And the Jeroboam began to cry out that my hand be returned to me. And the prophet began to pray over Jeroboam, and his hand came back to him. But in the midst of him bringing his hand back, Jeroboam began to try to speak about this man of God and come to working on his counsel. That's just like the devil. He see a miracle in your life, and then he want to try to hire you for money. But I'm under the hard and no kind of demon and no devil. I'm not under any organization. Am I there anywhere? I'm going to speak it the way the man of God told me to speak it. And that's the way the king told me to speak it. I ain't working for no, am I in there? I ain't working for no bishop. I ain't working for no teacher. I ain't working for no prophet. I'm called, even though I walk in the area apostle, but I ain't calling nobody under me to try to make me feel better than anybody else. I'm willing to help anybody out, but I'm not coming under the authority of any kind of man. I come to the authority of the power of God. And you got to understand and realize what I'm saying. That you're going to like me or you're not going to like me. It don't really matter to me because I got to speak what God says speak. Is you going to believe man or you going to believe God? Now, I'm not saying that you got to hesitate against the authority that's in your life. But when God calls somebody to be in your life, then you submit to them the way you're supposed to. But all this crap that's going around in the land, all this stuff that's been jumbled up and thrown out there, and people saying they this and saying they that, they don't know up, look down, or right, look wrong. They can't tell a spade from a spade. But they run around with all these titles and saying all these things about who they are in Christ. They got all these fancy words to tell you to make you feel good from an inspirational book, from an inspirational point of view. But I hear the word of God says signs, wonders, and miracles are following them that believe. I don't see anybody talking about how they deliver from a heart disease. I don't see anybody talking about how they deliver from kidney disease. I don't see anybody how they deliver from any kind of high blood pressure. Am I in that thyroid, hip problems, back problems? God did all those things to his son, Jesus Christ. That the Bible said, if you believe in him, that signs, wonders, and miracles are following you everywhere you go. Something wrong in the body of Christ. We all messed up. We're selling out the word of God, and we're trying to get names for ourselves. The word of God says in the word of you in the book of Romans, if you look at that word on the 11th verse, he said, but the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, am I there, your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. I mean, the word of God said, greater than he that's in you than he that's in the world. You need to take the shackles off of the very God that's inside of you, the very Jesus inside of you. The power has already been in you. But you keep on letting the demonic force overshadow you. You suffer with homosexuality. Am I in there? You suffer with masturbation problems. You suffer with sexual addiction. You suffer with alcohol. You suffer with all these things, weed. You fuck with all these things, dope, all these things, heroin. You suffer with all these things, mental problems. You suffer with all these things. But you keep on running up in the house of God. And you're praying to God to deliver you. The Bible said these things, when they come by fasting and praying, you got to get in the position of a real prophet, a real priest, a man that God has called to do the work in the season which you're in. I declare by the word of God in the season that we're in, you got to know who you are in Christ Jesus. Because the word of God tells me that if there's any man that be in Christ, he's a new creature. All old things are passed around. You got to stop running around being Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, up and down, wishy-washy, back and forth, and you don't know who you are in Christ. But you got to want to stand firm in the midst of the very diversity that you're going through in your life. You know that God's got a plan for your life according to Jeremiah 29:11. For only I know the faults of the plans that I got for you, they are good and not of evil. God has called you to have an expected future, despite of whatever the soothsayer may say, despite of whatever the demons around you say. You got to shut down and you got to trust God. You got to go into your closet and begin to pray and let God speak to you in the way that he needs to speak to you, that you may come out and reveal and do the things openly in the body in which you're in. God is tired of you running back and forth. He goes over in I'm going back to the third. To 1 Corinthians 3. I know where I'm at. But I want to bring a point to you about even dealing with that first verse of 1 Corinthians 3. But he goes over in this particular area of scripture in Romans 8 while we're still here. We're still in Romans. We ain't got back to 1 Corinthians because we're still in 1 Corinthians 3, just dealing with the first part. I'm going to show you just how much is in there. We read the story about in 1 Corinthians how the Word of God talk about defeating the milk and all this different stuff, and you're not able to among them in all the strife and division. We understand all that. Before you get to the strife and division, you got to understand that before you get out of the strife and division, you got to understand that one little word right there, spiritual. I can't speak to you as spiritual. You stuck. You still moving in the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde up and down the wishy-washy. Am I there? You don't want to hear me. You shacking, you living, you saying things that you want to get released, but you're making moves in the wrong direction, not trusting God to do everything you need him to do. You run around here, you're having unauthorized things behind closed doors that you're not supposed to be doing, but you're still speaking the word of God, and the word of God tell me the bitter and sweet, they're supposed to come out of the same fountain. When you going to get it together? When you going to get yourself up to the position to understand you got to stand firm in the work that you're doing? And even in the midst of you move forward, you can't get any kind of raggedy thing to come follow you in your ministry. Some people just want a name. That really bothers me when people just want a name for themselves. They just want to get a bunch of people in the building, and they just want to sit there and they want to talk about the things of the world, and they want to mingle it in with the house of God. And the church is out there going to hell in the handbasket. You got people shacking. You got people all kind of sexual desires in the house of God, and the preacher's in the same position. You got all kind of men and women of God in there living in ways they're not supposed to live, not trying to get it right, but they're still coming hot and holy and holy, holy, holy. But they're still suffering from desires in their body that's causing these very openings that the demons may come in to continue to control them, and they wonder why they're still jacked up in their life. I'm saying, when are you going to get your hard head self together? When are you going to get yourself right with Christ? Well, the Word of God says once again in the 11th verse of Romans 8 and 11. Now, I'm telling you, we ain't got back to Corinthians yet, 1 Corinthians 3. We're still in Romans 8 and 11 because I'm trying to bring a point about 1 Corinthians just in the first verse, to how God is trying to get you to understand that spiritual has got to be able to move before any kind of anointing or any kind of thing that God has for your life to move forward. Talk about Psalms 84 and 11. No good thing without hope from those who walk upright. The Bible says, if I confess with my mouth and believe up off of my heart, then he's Lord. Not only is Lord, he's Lord over everything. Okay, he gave you the opportunity to have mercy and grace. If there's anything that you can't handle, the Word of God said, okay, hand it over to me. But don't let your mind lean to it. Let me handle it. Because all you're going to do is mess it up with your carnal self, because you're going to try to figure out the way that you think is best for you. And God said, that ain't it. I'm trying to hijack your mind to get you to see I got something more in store for you. The higher you get with Christ, the stronger you get with Christ in terms of cutting everything and loose and trusting God to the fullness. I'm talking about to the total fullness. I feel sorry, ladies and gentlemen, for some people. I really do. I talk to them over and over again, over and over again, about how they need to live their life right. How they need to walk right with Christ. But I believe this season we're going to see a lot of people that ain't going to make it out this season because of the rebellion as well as the hard-headedness of their heart. And sometimes you got to just leave them people alone. You love them, but look here, your time is very critical. Your time is very precious, that you can't waste time with people who don't want to go and do nothing right, and you just keep on knocking on the door every day about how to do right. 8 months to pass, 9 months to pass, a year to pass, they still in the same situation, suffering under the same. Not only that, they're adding more demonic spirits to come in on them. The Word of God says over the 11th verse of Romans 8, 11, but if the spirit of him, listen what it says, we're talking spiritual. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus, look, from the dead, if it dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken what your physical, your mortal body by his spirit that dwells in you. See, you got somebody that's already fighting for you. If you give in to him, that what the Word of God tells you in the book of Galatians, If I walk in the spirit, the desires of the flesh will fade away. But it's a fight that's going on, a fight to the fittest, that you got to fight. Hell is trying to drag you. You got one foot on the banana peel, and you got one in the grave. And God is trying to tell you, you're going to slip. And you're going to slip the wrong way. One day you're going to go in the doctor, you're going to get the news about something that you know you can't get rid of. Or you're going to wake up one day and there's going to be something on you that you're going to, I don't talk about this a whole lot. But I think about, I don't know what was in the young lady's life, but she, I told y'all the story about how she woke up here just a few weeks ago. And she was considered that she had some medical issues with her breasts that she had to get taken care of. Like all women, they go through the breast treatment to get, my wife goes through her breast treatment, get their breast treated, because, you know, that demon cancer is out there. And it's taking out a lot of our women. You know, both black, it don't got no color barrier. It attacks white, black, blue, brown, orange, Indian. It ain't got, you see, that's the one thing about the devil, don't care about what color you are. But people so narrow minded, they do. She got up that morning and she noticed she had a problem in one of her breast areas. And she went and checked up with a doctor and found out she was in stage 3 or stage 4 cancer. So she went on to try to get the process done to be able to have the doctor administrate the proper devices in her that she may get what they call the chemo treatment. But when she went into the hospital, hoping, expecting, knowing that she's going to beat this thing, and she got in there, and the doctor proceeding to put the device in went in too deep, and it punctured her heart. And within 3 days of finding out that she had breast cancer, she died. The woman passed away. I'm telling you, man, the woman, you don't know. You think you know, but you don't know. You don't know nothing. God is in the control. It's not your money. It's not your house. It's not your fitness. It's not your exercise. Although we do want to do that to keep ourselves together and show to God we do appreciate the body they gave us, the whole of the Holy Spirit. But you're going to have to understand that it's through him. Word of God reads in the 12th verse of Romans 8 and 12. Therefore, brethren, we are not, I think we talked about, he said, you are that word debtors. Listen how he said that. We are not debtors. Not to the flesh. Let me say it again. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors. Look, not to the flesh, but to live after the flesh. Did anybody see that? Or did you just miss it? You just run over the top? Well, I don't know what that said. Because the Word of God says you got to study something to show yourself approved. Let me show you what it says in the Amplified Classic. When you look at the Amplified Classic, look at that 12th verse, and I'm going to read it in the Amplified Classic and bring a little bit more clarity to you. So then, brother, we are not debtors, but not to the flesh. You know what debtors are? Debtors, you know, the debt. We're not debtors to the flesh. We are not obligated to our own carnal nature. Am I there? To live a life ruled by standards set by the detacher of the flesh. In other words, the flesh, if I can break it down in layman's terms, the flesh don't rule you. You've been given something inside of you more powerful to tame the flesh. So you don't live to the debt of the flesh. I'm not under the bondage of flesh. I'm under the bonds of the Holy Spirit. That anytime I'm dealing with a critical situation in my life, I'm dealing with a deliverer that can bring me out of whatever condition I'm in. It doesn't matter how bad it is. It goes back in our open statement. We'll go back to the book of Jeremiah 32:17. He says also, if you can mingle that same word, not only Jeremiah 32:17, you can mingle Jeremiah 32:17 in with Mark 9:23. The Bible says like this. He said that God, when I stretched out arms, you created the heavens and the earth. Is that anything too hard for me to do? But in between that, Mark 9:23 says, is that anything too hard for me to do? For him that believe, all things are possible. We got to believe that everything and all things are possible. No matter how bad or critical the situation may be, we got to trust God. Lean not to our own, Proverbs 3:5, but acknowledge God in all his way, and then as a GPS he's going to give us. Remember the word of God gave us a guarantee, according to Jeremiah 29:11. For only I know the thoughts and the plans that I got for you, Charles, or whoever else is listening, they are good and not of evil. But I gave you an expectation. But only, he said in the word of God, if you walk upright. That's Psalms 84:11. No good thing what I hold from those who walk upright. The Bible says, according to what Mark, Matthew 6 and 33, if we look at it all the time, we say it so easy, but you say, but the word of God says, if it seek ye first the kingdom, and all of what, there's laws in the kingdom that allow us to be a part of the righteousness. But we're not debtors to the flesh. We can't live for the flesh and walk in the kingdom principles. We got to understand that the law that's inside us, which is King Jesus, who lives in us and obeys the very words that come from the Father, that in the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete will guide us in the direction we need to be guided in. For we lean not to our own understanding. I'm so close to that. But we're not as God in all his ways. There's a direction that God got for you. If you just get your fat heads up and stop thinking about it, quit bumping the knots on your head and complaining about all the problems that's going on in your life. You keep on bumping your head against the tree and complaining about the knots on your head, but God is trying to get you to understand, look, wake up. How many times are you going to keep on running against that tree? It ain't hurting you yet. You ran into it so hard one time, I almost knocked you out, and you're going to get up and run right back into it again. What is wrong with you? Don't you see I'm trying to steer you in the right direction? You came to near death. You came to things that you probably weren't supposed to make it through in the season. I told you things that was going to come up in your life. You failed not to listen to me. But yet you took it for granted. And you took me as being just a common thing. I designed you to be a debt to the flesh. But you come to be a positive, to live like Christ. And if you got a problem with living like Christ, then you need to search the one that's inside of you, which is the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, when you begin to pray to me earnestly, I'll show you things and ways that you can't even imagine or understand. That's what Corinthians tells me. Or what, the 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, that 9th verse. For eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. Neither has it entered the heart of any man the things I have for those who love them. God is trying to show you something. It's really more than what you can see. If we bounce back over here to the book of 1 Corinthians 3, and you get the illustration of what Pastor Ellis is, or Apostle Ellis is telling you. I'm in there. Whatever God needs me to flow, I'm flowing in it. I'm flowing in it. But my office is the apostle. But if you need me to step in to be a pastor, I can do that too. I walk in different giftings. I don't talk about these things. I walk in areas of prophecy. I walk in areas. It ain't got nothing to do with this. I just do the work. I'm called to do the work. I'm just a workman. Whatever you position, you put me in on a job, I'm there to do it. I'm not going to complain. I was training these things a long time ago. When I became to get in organized sports or organized events, I learned how to not cry and complain, but work with those around me. That's why a lot of people say, are you a team player? You don't want nobody to walk around with their mouth all sad and complain. I ain't not worried about nobody else's lane. I stay in my own lane. I run my race. If I keep worrying about what somebody else is doing, that's going to throw me off. And then I mess around and get disqualified of the work that God called me to do. Because I'm trying to look at what somebody else is doing. I believe my work is just as great as any man's work. Am I there? I'm trying to get you to see. The word of God says in 1 Corinthians, that 3rd chapter. And brethren, I cannot speak to you as spiritual. Now, all the things we just went through with the Romans, and first, all that stuff with the Romans, you got to understand, it's the spiritualness that's in you. The spiritualness in you carries a very bond of obedience. You got to see this. Because when but what I'm saying, and I know I'm telling y'all the truth here, the Spirit of God helps you to move in the right direction. Am I there? Yeah, I know I am. Because God is trying to get you to see that it's really more than what you can see. I think about the story. When I roll my, y'all be patient with me. When I take my Bible and I begin to roll through the scriptures, and I know the Lord, he gave it to me. It's there. I give you stuff fresh off the press. And the word of God says over here that over in, if we take our Bibles, we go over to, let's look over here in the book of first, now look at 2 Kings, if I'm allowed to go there. I mean, let's look at 2 Kings for just a minute here. And I want to show you something about instructions and how being lined up in the Holy Ghost. That when God sent a prophet to help you in the season that you're in, all you have to do is obey the instructions that he gives you. It doesn't matter how hard the things may be that you're going through. God has got a plan that will bring you out. He'll send somebody to help you in the season that you're in. If you look at 2 Kings in chapter 4, the Bible said, now there cried a widow woman, and the wives of the sons of the prophet, unto Elijah, saying, my servant, my husband, is dead, that I know that he's a servant died, and he feared the Lord. Now, most of y'all don't know the story. You read it. That was Obadiah. Obadiah was the one who took care of all the prophets that was in the cave that God said had 7,000 hadn't bowed to the feet of Balaam after Elijah came off of Mount Carmel and began to whoop them boys up there. But God has sustained these prophets in the cave, and Obadiah fed them bread and water and went in labor or went in debt feeding them. So now that he died, he owed money, and now these men under the dictatorship of Ahab came to try to take these men's kids. In other words, the debt fell on them. But I'm telling you, when you seem like a debt that's on your head, God will raise up somebody to come and help you out of whatever you am I in there anyway. When it seems like you can't come out of nowhere, God is a God. I heard my mama say, God will make a way out of nowhere. Am I there? The Bible said, now they cried a widow woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha. And the Bible says, saying that these that husband is dead, and I know that the servant that I know that thy servant did fear the Lord. And like he said, look, the creditors, the debtors, if we go over in the book of Romans 8, the debtors, the creditors is coming to take away my what? Sons for what? For bondsmen, the whole ransom for them. But notice the word here. I want you to get the word here. I want you to hear this right here. And Elijah said unto her, what do I have? What shall I do for thee? It's a question mark. You're crying out to me, but you're asking God to help you, but you got to you got to obey the instructions. I'm making a complaint against Christ about how I'm going through all these dilemmas and crazy things that are going on in my life. But so God sent a man of God, and he said, okay, well, prophet, go help Pastor Ellis out. Go help that apostle out down there in over there in Plano. Go help him out. I'll go help that man, Elder Carey. Go help him, Pep Pearson. Go help the men of God out. But you see, in the midst of you praying all the time and knowing that God is going to make a way out of nowhere, you don't see it coming, but God says faith is the evidence. I can't see it, but I got to believe it. I got a hope and expectation that God's going to do a work up in my life. Am I there? And God began to hear your cry. The Bible says you cry unto the Lord. And when you cry unto the Lord, you become to have a fervent prayer of a righteous man. Your prayers begin to avail. God said, now one of your prayers will never touch the ground. God had every one of your prayers, but he wants you to follow the instructions. See, God does foolish things. When you look at the story, you really look at it real good. It was foolish what he was telling the woman that God done. From a natural standpoint of view, the Bible said, these men are coming to take my son and make them bondsmen. The creditors are coming to take my son and make them bondsmen. Then she talks to the prophet, and the prophet says, okay, what do you have in your house? Tell me what is in your house. He told her, tell me what is in your house. And then she said, thy handmaid. Look. She bowed herself down to the prophet, thy handmaid. Because, see, she was under the leadership and under the direction that knowing that her husband was a prophet, and he dwelled with prophets. So she knew she was a handmaid. Don't get this twisted. When you obey your husbands, you don't walk behind them or in front of them. Y'all walk side by side, but you have to be a help for him and whatever God has called him to do. But see, these things don't work unless you come through the laws of what we call marriage. You got to understand that it don't work for you unless you bind in the covenant. The first marriage you see was in the garden. When God said, I made man, and then he saw that the man was alone, and he said, I made him woman. He married Adam and Eve. And then Adam and Eve began to get down in the midst of the garden. Y'all know how the story goes. She got hard-headed. And she started listening to that snake, you know, that serpent. And he began to contradict the word of God. But anyway, let me move. I can't get into that right now, but this is what I'm saying there. He said, thy handmaid has not anything in the house but a save a pot of oil. I ain't got nothing in my house but a saved up pot of oil. What I'm going to do with a pot of oil? Drink some oil? But see, this is when he comes in the power. You begin to understand that I got a little oil. But listen how the man of God speaks such a prophetic word to her, and it seems impossible. See, God said, I use foolish things to confound the mind of wise, the mind of an individual. Now, it didn't look like, now, I ain't got but a pot of oil. Now, why are you telling me to go and get all these empty vessels? See, to a natural-minded man, an educated-minded man, they said, no, that ain't possible. Yeah, the Bible tells me, Jeremiah 32 and 17, is there anything too hard for God to do? But you know, to get your mind about a load of bar and let God begin to control it and deal with it the way he sees fit. And you will see the great mighty things that God will do for you in your life. If you get out your education and get into revelation and stop using your mind to the point that you can outsmart God. See, that's what the men think they can do now. They can outsmart God. You know what I'm saying? Let me show you something right here. And it said in the third verse, then it said, go bow. Now, this is instructions. Go bow the vessels abroad for all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Bow not a few. That means don't just be as many as you can. Your cart can carry, you can carry, get all of them. The Bible, now, this is instruction. Go and do these vessels, get these empty jars, and get all of these things, and get many as you can. And then it says in the fourth verse, all this is instruction. And then when I come in the house, or when I come in, well, he said, when I come in, thy shut the door upon thy and thy son. Look at the S, sons. There's an S on there, sons, and thou shalt pour out into all the vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Now the woman of God says she ain't got but a pot of oil. But this woman of God got all these vessels. The prophet prophesied that the oil ain't going to cease, it ain't going to stop because of the word of the prophet who spoke into her life. I'm trying to get you to see, when you're walking in the spirit, God will show you things and understand that you don't even know. He says in the fifth verse, so she went, what did she do? So she went from him. She went from it and she shut the door upon her and her sons, S, who bought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And the Bible said, it came to pass that the vessels were full. Now, that can we go back to the third verse? I ain't got nothing but a bunch of empty vessels. But through the miraculous power of belief and declared by the creed of God, that it really talks about like it did in the book of Hebrews. I can't see it, but I can't see it, but I believe it. I can't see it happening, but faith is the evidence. I can't see it. I don't see it. No, I don't see how it's going to happen. But God makes a way out of no way. He gave us, told us one to pick up a bunch of empty vessels in verse 3. But he goes on to verse 5, and what did he do? He made the miraculous word of God. See, this is what you got to understand. The God word. The Bible said that every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God and his prophets will go forth. And it will not come unto you void, but it will accomplish and do all that therein. When God speaks to the mouth of a prophet, it's like God speaking himself. You got to listen, because the rules and regulations he's about to give you is not going to be unto the carnal understanding, like he says over there in the book of 1 Corinthians, in that third chapter. I can't speak to you as spiritual, but carnal. Your mind is messed up. It's tore up from the floor up, and then you check up from the neck up. You're all jacked up, and you wonder why things are tore up off in your life. No, you don't want to hear what I'm talking, but I'm going to talk the talk, and I'm going to walk the walk. Baby, look at God is telling people in the season what you're in. Quit going around talking all that stuff in that 1 Corinthians 13 and begin to do something. You just talking loud, and you ain't saying nothing. But I heard a word of God sent over that verse, that fifth verse of that particular area of 2 Kings, that fourth chapter, in that fifth verse. He said he went out and he shut the door up on her and her sons, and he brought the vessels to her and he poured them out. And then the word of God says in the sixth verse, and it came to pass that when the vessels were full, she said unto her son, bring me yet another vessel. Everything you see from the on down has got an S on it. Vessels. You look in the third chapter, vessels. In my third verse, I mean vessels. You look down in the fourth verse, vessels, S. You look down here in the fifth verse, vessels. But when you get down to the sixth verse, the Bible said, bring me another vessel. What, hold on. That she had filled so many of what she got. Bring me yet another vessel. Is there any more left? All of these are full. I'm talking about the motion of God and power working right there before her eyes. Now, when you look at the first verse, second verse, I ain't got nothing but a pot of oil. But now here I am at the God and all these vessels. I'm asking you, is there yet? But the oil ain't stopped flow. Baby, do you hear what I'm telling you? God said, I will pour oil up off in your life. That if you could believe and trust in me in the midst of where you are, I will pour oil unconditionally all over your life. I will give you signs, wonders, and miracles about everything in your life. All you got to do is obey my instructions. She asked the man of God, is there another vessel? And he said unto her, not another vessel, not more. I'm saying the oil stayed. When there wasn't no more vessels, then the oil was under the commandment of the prophet and the obedience of the widow. And she came and told the man of God, and the man said, go, pay your debt. Am I there? And live thy, and go pay your debt and live thy and thy children with the rest. The Bible said the only way you're going to get stuff like this is you got to be spiritual, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Am I there? Paul said, I can't give y'all anything because y'all went around with y'all still drinking on that mental stuff. See, Paul called it meat, immaturity. He said, y'all still drinking milk. Then when you start understanding that God does miraculous, incredible things, that it seems foolish, that's when you start getting the maturity. Oh, I believe him now. My note behind, I got a health issue. Am I there? I don't seem like I'm going to make it. I know that God said, but I don't see it happening. God said, I'm not on the time that you want me to come in, but faith holds time. The Bible said that if you can just trust and believe and declare and decree that I'm a God, that my word will not go back void, but it will accomplish all that therein. The Bible said you will believe and trust and know that who I say I am. I am El Shaddai. I am Jehovah Jireh. I am Jehovah Nisha. I'm Jehovah. Say, I'm all that therein. I am the God. I am the Immaculate Conception. God got a plan for your life. All you got to do is learn how to hold on to God's unchanging hand. I don't need to go any farther down here in this particular verse. That's why I wanted to hit these first three verses. To get you to see something. And the Bible says over the third verse, when you look at, now let's look at the second verse. He said, I feed you with milk and not with meat. See, the thing that happened with the widow woman, most people can't handle that. They can't see that. How am I going to get all this out of this little pot of oil? How am I going to get all that out of that? What is that going to come from? Faith is believing. Not seeing, it's believing. That the hope and expectation of knowing that God's going to do what he said he's going to do. Can I talk to y'all? In Psalms 84:11, am I a God that I should lie? Or am I a son of any man that I should have to repent? I've been given a command. Well, that's over there in Numbers 23:19-21. But when he talks about that over in the book of Psalms 84:11, he says, no good thing would he hold from those who walk upright. When you take your Bible, you go to Numbers 23:19-21, he said, am I a God that I should lie, or am I a son of any man, piece of flesh, that I have to repent? The command has been given to bless, and I cannot reverse it. Okay, you take that same thing over Isaiah 55:11. Every word, am I there? Y'all know it proceeds out of the mouth of God as a 40 word. It's going to do and be designed the way it's going to do. I speak prophecy all over my life and all over my family life and all over this house. Now, I'm telling you, man, the woman, God, I'm telling you, we will never drought or lack for nothing. And I'm telling you, every enemy and every demon will never see the demise of anything that happened in my life. We shall go forward. We shall move up. And we are going to do things for the more than we can imagine and understand. I know you don't like what we're doing. I know you don't like me, but that's all right. I'm not here for you to like me, just like you don't like Jesus Christ and what he does. I'm here to do the word of God. There's more enemies that I got than I got friends. But you know what? I love it because God is telling me you're doing something right. And when you're doing something right, people are not going to support you and do what you need to do. But you got to keep on mushing. You got to keep on doing the work of the God. You got to declare, decree that God has given you a word in the season which you're in. Sometimes you got to know how to fight against your underdog, your opponent, the ones who's talking about you, the ones who's putting you down. It really don't matter with them anyway because God going to deal with them anyhow. So you ain't got to worry about that anyway. All your job is to move forward in the season of what you're in. And that is a season that you're in. You know what I'm saying? We hear people all over the world. We get numbers lit up on this thing from all over the world. But when the word of God comes forth, they're silent. Now that you get somebody like a rebel to come in and try to contradict the word of God. Because people want to hear. People getting tired of getting messed up and jacked up by these churches out here telling people the things and ripping them off. Not only their financial part, but their life. And then when they get out here and get stressed out across the very casket in front of the church, which everybody's going to go one day, like Jesse Perez said, every soul has got to get in one size hole. And then you want to come to the point where I'm this, I'm that, and all the other. You can kill every demonic force in your life with one thing, and that's called obedience. One thing is called obedience. I will obey the Lord with all my heart and all my mind and all my soul. I will walk and do right by God. I guarantee you, man, if you don't hesitate on that, and no matter what things are in your life, if you got to bail out of it, bail out to get right with God. Don't let the devil control you because of substance and things, click clubs, titles, and positions. We open up the lines for those who are calling in this afternoon. Error code is actually 516-387-1220. You're open. They're able to speak and say whatever you think you need. The lines are open at this time. But I'll also give you some more of these announcements And I want to say again about the woman of God, Apostle Diva Curry, who's doing a great work of the kingdom of God. And called God's Restoration Ministry. She's down there in the city of Oklahoma, or McAllister, Oklahoma, doing some work with some of the women who are written and restorated or won't need to be restorated, you know, coming out of prison, coming from addiction, prostitution, dope, drugs, whatever it may be. They got a woman's house for these women who are in need of these things. And they actually ask you to get a hold of them. If you're suffering from some things, you need some help. If you really want to be helped, call the number. The number to call is area code 214-579-9002. Now, there's also another cell phone number that she has. You can get a hold of her personally. That's area code 469-909-9122. Powerful woman of God doing a powerful work. Also, I tell you guys about Reigning International Ministry out there in the city of Irving, Texas. And that's actually Dr. J.C. Matthews. I'm telling you, you better hear this man of God. This man of God, I'm telling you, I don't know what. See, he brings his case just like a lawyer in the courtroom. His closing arguments and everything. But he do it in the way of the kingdom. And that's actually Dr. J.C. Matthews out of Reigning International Church at 3001 Irving Boulevard in the city of Irving, Texas. Now, to contact him is area code. It's not an area code. It's an 800 number. It's 877-377-3446. Like I said, the lines are open for those who want to comment. As we're going through these particular areas of giving you these announcements, we will be getting to you back on the line. Also, on Monday nights, you have a training for Reigning Bible Study at 7 o'clock at that same local address that we just told you about, which is out there at 3001 Irving Boulevard in the city of Irving, Texas. Area code, you call in to check in with him on how to get there. It's 877-377-3446. Now, this is a good thing about Dr. J.C. Matthews. That's why I like about him, because he's just a thinker. And even if you can't make it to the service out in Irving, for those who are out of the country and out of the state, you want to hear the training and the words that this man of God had to bring forth, you can still call him, whether you're in some of the distant states or distant cities. You can still get a hold of him at area code 712. This is on Reigning for Training Monday nights. You can get a hold of them at area code 1-712-432-3066. Now, it's going to be extension. Now, I hope you write this down. That's going to be 311-428. Now, that's Reigning for Training on Monday nights. And on actually Sunday evenings, you can be out at this service out there at Reigning International at 3001 Irving Boulevard out there in the city of Irving, Texas. That's 75061 is the actual address out there. Also, Wednesday night, we have Bishop Raymond Johnson out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We want you to be able to come online and hear what the Word of God that he's saying out there. Such a powerful work that he's doing out there in the city of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Also, for those who are in the area of Mesquite, we want you to get a hold to Light Church Ministries. That's Light Church, Pastor Ron Shaw, on 2606 John West Freeway out there in the city of Mesquite, as well as for those who are actually over in the city of Plato. You can actually Google Pastor Sam Fitzroy at Mount Olive Church, MOCOP, Mount Olive Church of Plano, and you can get a hold of him. He does a powerful work out there as well. And as we said once before, out there in the city of Houston, Texas, you want to actually Google him up. And because I don't have his address with me right now, but he's a powerful man, Apostle Oscar Walker. He's always been part of the work that we're doing here at Harvest Light Church since we started. He's just been there with us, and it's amazing how he sticks with us. And we know about him just losing his mother here some weeks ago. We're praying for him also. But you want to go to the website and you want to type in Disciples Tabernacle Church out of Houston, Texas. And I'm telling you, you really want to get taught about a spiritual apostolic leader, I'm telling you, he is the one that helped you move forward. Got to open up one of my lines here. As always, I have the good man of God, Elder Kerry Williams, and all those who else want to come in and have something to say during the course of this service. If we got a few minutes on the actual time, you can. But I want to let you know about our Thursday night, the Word service. And also, we are going to be adding another service to this particular program. It's going to be Friday nights. It's going to be actually twice a month, and that's going to be what Pastor Edward Pearson The Model Church of Plano. He's going to be coming. It's going to be the hour with Pastor Edward Pearson. That's going to be his show. And we got a few other shows. We got a Calculating. We got Prophet Kurt Denny out of New York. We got waiting on some of the things with him. As we get our cameras into place, and begin to flow with some of our YouTube personal stations and some of the things that God is doing here. Actually, our own production station. We've been working for such a while. We just really need your fundraisers. We need your prayers to come in. Send something to us, Lord. That we ask you to help support this ministry. And you can go to harvestnewlifechurch.com. You can go to the actually donate key, and you can donate to this ministry. And look, make an amount that's worthy of what God is calling you to do. You don't have a church where you're giving out tithes and offering. You want to sow in good ground. Okay, here it is. A lot of y'all have been held up for the work God has in your life, for the financial half of your life, because you're holding back what's in your hand. And the day you get your check or whatever, you can hold in your pocket. So we want to make sure that we get that out of the way. Okay, we have Elder Kerry Williams on the line. As he took a great grasp, I heard his breath move there. So that kind of pushed me back on some of the things we talked about. We're going to have him see what he has to say on this afternoon as we get upstairs ready to close. Elder Kerry Williams.
Hey, man. God bless you, Pastor Ellis. Very briefly here, I just want to say that everything that you're teaching tonight is so very relevant and on point to us tonight, because what we need to understand that this third chapter in Corinthians right here, Paul is dealing with the Corinthians while they're in their infancy in this walk, while they are spiritual babes. And we've got to understand that just like we grow up naturally as adults from infanthood to adulthood, we do the same thing in our spirit life. And please understand that this whole thing, it's not about the journey. It's about the destination. We're headed somewhere, and God's going with us. We have a destination ahead of us. And so with that being said, I'm going to read something really quick that's very powerful, and then I'll be finished. I'll give it back to you. But it's just to add to everything that you were saying tonight. First of all, I said a while back that we've got to understand that it's not just enough for us to be in the church. The church literally has to be in us, because the Bible lets us know plainly that God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So knowing your identity as according to God's spirit, knowing who you are, knowing whose you are, means everything. But Jesus said it so very powerful in the book of John, 4th chapter, verses 23rd and 24th verses. He was talking to the woman of Samaria by the well of Solomon. And verse 23, I'm going to read this from the New King James Version, but then I'm going to give it to you from the Message Bible. So it says, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him." Now, verse 24 sums it up and says, "God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." Now, the Message Bible puts it a little bit more bluntly than that. What I'm saying to you now is that we've got to understand that it really is time out for playing and pretending and sitting up in buildings and looking good and sounding good and entertaining one another with spiritual gifts. See, God gave everybody gifts, but the gifts aren't what's saved, but men are attracted to the gifts. Now, the Message Bible, Jesus said it like this. He said, verse 23 says, "Believe me, woman, the time is coming when you Samaritans will worship the Father neither here at this mountain nor there in Jerusalem. You worship guessing in the dark. We Jews worship in the clear light of day. God's way of salvation is made available through the Jews, but the time is coming. It has, in fact, already come, when what you're called will not matter, and where you go to worship will not matter. It's who you are and the way you live that count before God.
Come on, come on.
Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. That's the kind of people the Father is out looking for. Those who are simply and honestly themselves before Him in their worship. God is sheer being itself, spirit. Those who worship Him must do it out of their very being, their spirits, their true selves in adoration. In other words, what God is saying to us, like Pastor was just saying from a few minutes ago, the titles don't matter. The $1,000 suits and alligator shoes don't matter. The looking good and sounding good don't matter. What matters is where you are in relation to the Spirit, with the power of God's Spirit in operation in you. God's real church, God's spiritual Israel, is spirit. And the Spirit of God is what creates and dwells in it. So the Spirit of God has to dwell in those of us who serve Him. So when you put it in context in Corinthians 3rd chapter, these people were just they weren't mature in the Spirit. So they didn't understand these things. But I'm telling you right now, God is looking for us to walk in the Spirit so that we continue to mature. When the Bible talks about a man being mature and perfect, He's talking about a fully mature, a fully equipped saint of God who is walking, operating, and led solely by the Spirit of God and not surrendering to the lust of his flesh. The days that we're living in, this is what God's looking for us to develop and to become. And so that is the mission at hand. We talked about the naysayers last week. The naysayers are those who's going to come against you and come against us and do everything they can to prevent that. But, amen, the devil is a lie. God already has placed victory by way of his Spirit in each and every one of us. Uh-huh. Walk in the Spirit. God bless you.
Amen, amen, amen. Man or woman, God, I tell you, it's we want to just these areas of city, these areas of the different places that I mentioned in the DFW Metroplex, as well as some of the outside the DFW Metroplex. These are places I'm telling you that you can actually attend. That I'm telling you, they got good soil. There's good soil. I don't know where you attending. I don't know if you've been getting changed. I don't know if you want to change. It's not, cause God's not going to force that on you. But clearly, these places I told you about as places that you can attend. And I got more of them. Whether you're in the Chicago area, or whether you're in the Memphis area, whether you're in the Georgia area, I know men of God who are really, truly walking in the honor of the kingdom of God. Even in the area of Saginaw, Michigan, there's men who are God I know that that actually is walking in the presence and the power of the Spirit, and they don't really look at the accolade of what it is. And they're about saving souls because they know the time is at hand. You know, we are at that point, like the men of God say, you know, you Jews, you Samaritans, you said, we Jews, we know what we worship, but it's through them that we gained our access. It said in Romans, you know, he cut a place for us. Now all of us has a right. There's no one left out. All of us had a right to the tree of life. We all been given that opportunity. It's always a pleasure for you guys to join me here at Harvest New Light Church in Harvest New Light Studios. To the man of God, Elder Kerry Williams, it's always a pleasure to have him on the line with us. And it's truly an honor for you to be with him during his actually Thursday night broadcast. We want to let you guys know that, hey, look, it's always a great opportunity for you guys to be a part of the work we're doing. And we love you guys. We care for you guys. Don't forget to join us on Thursday night as we get ready to move forward. And I got a few minutes to have, but I gotta give them a cut back a little bit because I saw a number that come in here, and I got to give them an opportunity to say something. on the line today, and that's Pastor Patty Ellis. And she's in there, but you know, she's got the opportunity to have the floor to have something that before I cut it off. I'll go over for her in the name of Jesus. But as she pushed the number one on her bone and her phone, she'll light up and she'll have what she has to say. A woman of God.
Amen. We just want to thank you all for just joining us this evening. It's just been a pleasure just to each and every opportunity that we were able to speak the word of God and be able to just come together. It's just such an incredible honor and incredible blessing. And we just want to encourage you all just to continue to be plugged in and just see where this ministry and the ministries that are connected, just where we're going and how we're touching so many people. So I just want to encourage you all, just please stay tuned in. And there's such powerful words that are coming from these men and women of God when we have them just be able to share their experience and their opportunities with us. So I just also want to thank the people that come on, the guest speakers, and of course the leader of this house, Russell Pastor and Charles Ellis. You're just a blessing to our ministry. And we just thank you for just your hard work each and every day that you just commit to this ministry.
Amen. God bless you, woman of God. As I said before, we've got a good one out of you. And to hear from that woman of God, who's always been faithful in the work we're doing. But look here, we love you guys. It's a pleasure. Don't forget us on Thursday with Elder Kerry Williams on The Word. And tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m., I will be coming live. At, The Word is coming out of this house at 10:30 a.m. God bless you guys. Pray. Keep us in prayer. All right. Bye-bye.
Let all the people sing your awesome sound in all the air. Let darkness tremble at your name. What is the nation's nation? God should be from his God. Now and forever you will your you reign forever.